Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Well, they've sold more than 500,000 units, have a bushel of number one songs, albums, and awards. But even more incredible than the success of Seventh-day Slumber is the heart behind why they do what they do.
Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame.
Lead singer Joseph Rojas grew up battling addiction, abuse, trouble with the law, and finally, a life-threatening suicide attempt. But he found redemption, hope, and passionate purpose. And today we'll hear the extraordinary story and unpack the latest album from the chart-topping lads called Closer to Chaos. A great day to you, good man. How are things on this fine summer's day?
They're going great, man. It's just, it's nice and windy out here. I'm sitting outside and just enjoying this nice fresh air in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, beautiful place, sir. Beautiful place. So, you know, in sharing the heart of the record, you've said you wanted to tackle the toughest moments in life head on, but then really go one step further and say through these songs that suffering is only for a season. So how do you do that here on Closer to Chaos, good sir?
One of the most important things for us is to make sure that we don't seem like our life and you know, our lyrics or music is for people that have it all figured out and for people that, you know, have made it. You know, we like to let people know that obviously there's hope, but we understand feeling pain even after giving your life to Jesus. I mean, I was a drug addict with no hope in my life, and I obviously know what it feels like to be hopeless and to feel like, you know, I have no value. But to tell the truth, even after giving my life to Jesus, there were some really, really rough moments. There are some things in my life that I still needed, that still needed to be fixed and that I needed healing from. And so what we try to do, at least, you know, we ask God to do it through us, is to make sure that the message of hope is loud and clear in our music. But at the same time, we want to meet people where they're at. And sometimes we're in the middle of that pain. And so I would say that just keeping an open heart, an open mind, and a willingness to hear from God as we're writing and recording our music is kind of how we stay sharp on the fact that, you know, we meet people where they're at, but while bringing them hope at the same time. I don't know if that made any sense, but it sounded good to me.
No, it sounded great to me, too, and it's a perfect introduction to this. I want to dig in further to songs like The Letter and the song Sober in just a few moments here. But if you wouldn't mind, if we can dig back into the archive a little bit, your story starts in Victoria, Texas. And after your dad leaves, your mom is such a central figure for you, raising you as a single parent. At this point, what was your relationship with faith? Because there was a pretty lengthy family history with church, yes?
My mother believed in God. She always believed in God, but she didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And we would go to church only a couple times a year, you know, maybe Easter and kind of Christmas Eve type of thing. But so I didn't really have a relationship with God growing up. I heard about God. I had to go to CCD classes and communion classes and things like that at the local Catholic church. For our family, you don't really make a decision to be Catholic. You were just kind of born Catholic.
That's the phrase I was getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. And so even as like my mom was like, I tried to go to a Baptist church one time with a friend of mine, and I wasn't even a Christian. And my mom was like, "You're not going to the Baptist church. You're Catholic." And I'm like, "I don't even believe in God, really." You know what I mean? So they're like, "I don't care." You know, but yeah. So it was just, you know, that's how I was raised. And we, you know, my mom is an amazing woman. She's an amazing person. Just an awesome woman who loved her children. My mother raised two boys on a single mother's income with no child support. My father wasn't in my life. He used to beat my mother. And when I was about 4 years old, or just before I turned four, my dad, I saw him for the last time, and I still remember him beating her. I still remember the blood, and I still remember the sirens, and even the anxiety. And people may go, "How do you remember that?" Like at four. But I did. It was that traumatizing for me. But we were raised by a mother who loved us, and even though we weren't in church every day or any of that kind of stuff, she would still show us love and the love of God, you know, to her children.
We're talking with Mr. Joseph Rojas today. He's the lead singer of Seventh Day Slumber, the chart-topping recording artists, with the freshly released album Closer to Chaos. Well, your hometown was located right on the route, the supply route, as you describe it, of illegal drugs coming up from Mexico, and then you start using yourself at only age 12, right? How did that come into your life?
Right up 59 South, and drugs would come straight through Victoria to head to Houston, Texas. You know, I started using drugs and alcohol at 12 because of the fact that I felt so worthless. I was hurting, you know. I never felt like I fit in anywhere. And I don't know how to describe the worthlessness I felt and even necessarily why. You know, I struggled with my weight. I got made fun of and things like that. I guess all that led to that. Plus, you know, the main thing is being, not having a father in my life and seeing other kids playing with their dads or having to go home because their dad's coming home from work. And that kind of thing. And so all that added up, but I just wanted the pain to stop. And my mom, she wasn't a big drinker or anything, but she had a bottle of Southern Comfort that she'd keep when people would come over or whatever. And I just remember taking that and pouring me some, and it burnt going down. And I remember going, "Oh, you know, this is nasty." But after it set in, you know, it numbed the pain, and I liked the way it felt. And really, honestly, I liked the way it felt not to feel, if that makes any sense.
Of course.
Yeah, and so that was 12. That was 12 years old, and there were drugs all around. I mean, but I ended up going straight to cocaine. By 14, I tried my first line of cocaine. I tried other drugs, pills, and acid, and things like that at such a young age. And I, when I think about it, it's like, wow, man, I got a kid. I got a son who's 12 years old now, and I couldn't imagine him doing those things, you know, or feeling so empty inside that you wanted to commit suicide at 12 years old. That's how I felt.
You came to the point then doing cocaine where you were using, and you started to distribute as well. You started to sell, but you were using $400 worth of cocaine a day. Is that right?
Yeah, I was. And as a matter of fact, selling drugs was a way to continue using and supporting my habit because I was so addicted to cocaine. But it ended up becoming the reason why I couldn't sell drugs. Start owing money to people that you don't want to owe money to, you know, and you, like, you come up missing type of thing.
Right.
And so I, you know, I was robbing and stealing and selling dope. And man, you know, thinking back on it and looking back on it, there were so many times that I should have died, that I should not be here right now.
Wow.
But God was even with me, even when I wasn't looking or seeing him. He had his eyes on me.
Well, speaking of which, the moment when God grabs you, Joseph, is not at all coincidentally also perhaps the lowest moment of your life. You do then attempt suicide through overdose, but you're unsuccessful.
Yeah, I made a decision to take my life. I was almost 22 years old. My drug addiction had spiraled out of control. I'd been in and out of jails, institutions. I went to jail when I was 18, to big boy jail. I had been to centers before that and like behavioral centers and all kinds of stuff like that, in trouble with the law. Since I was a kid, I was in trouble with the law.
Right.
But at 18, I finally went to big boy jail, and my mom had to come and see me, and she ended up giving her life to Jesus because she was looking for help for me so desperately. You know, she'd come and visit me, and she was so broken, and I could just see the look on her face. She knew that I was going to die if I didn't get help. And running the streets, doing the things I was doing, and using as much drugs as I was using. My mom gave her life to Jesus and would tell me about him and that he could change my life, save my life. But it was hard to believe that there is a holy, righteous God that would take someone as messed up as me. Mm. And plus, when people talk about God the Father, I didn't really have a concept of what a father is. To me, a father is someone that cheats on your mom and beats her. And so it was really difficult for me to understand that terminology, plus, you know, someone who doesn't stay around. And so I had finally just, you know, in and out of jail, everything. I finally just made the decision to take my life. I had lost everything, lost my vehicle, lost my apartment, lost the whole, I ended up homeless on the streets of Austin, Texas. My mom even had to come find me and bring me home, but I just made the decision. I'm done. I'm tired of hurting her. She deserves more. And I made a decision to take my life. And my mother walked in unexpectedly. And I say unexpectedly, she was at work, and which was about 3 miles from our home. And she felt she needed to come home at that moment. And she left work early and came to check on me. And I had overdosed and in front of her. Minute, and she is calling the paramedics. She was praying for me. I was coming in and out. My chest was hurting, and I still remember it. In the back of the ambulance, I felt the hand of God, and I knew that he was real. I knew that it was Jesus in the back of that ambulance, and I couldn't speak, with my mouth. I couldn't physically speak, but my heart, I don't even remember what I prayed, but I did something along the lines of Jesus, you know, I'm filthy. I don't think I'm worth anything, but if I know you're real, you know, I know you're here. I can feel you. But if you'll still have me, I'll give my life to you. And he saved my life and changed my life. It took a couple years, you know, a couple years to get completely clean. We like to jump to the part of the story where now Joseph lives happily ever after, has a wife and 3 kids, and, you know, but that's not how it was. It was 2 years of me still trying to trust the Lord and give it all to him.
One of the most extraordinary stories you'll ever hear today on the road. Joseph Rojas is the lead singer of Seventh Day Slumber, the chart-topping recording artist with the freshly released album Closer to Chaos. And you, with great good humor there, talk about, you know, wishing in a way that it was an instant process. But man, I think you're going to inspire a lot of people by telling that story, the fact that it is a journey, that it is a process. And you talk about in that 2 year period, one of the funniest things that I read that you've said is that God ruined getting high for you. Yes, it was a process, but God had already ruined getting high for you. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, it's, I ended up in a couple of dope houses after that, but God, like I said, had ruined it. I mean, he ruined it for me. It wasn't good anymore. It didn't feel the same anymore. As a matter of fact, I was there going, man, this is not where I'm supposed to be. This is not, you know, he ruined my high, is all I can say. He was a buzzkill. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Yeah. Because I knew that there was more. I knew there was more. Once I experienced God and the goodness of God and who he is, like, no drug on earth can replace that. And so it was, I knew that was not, I don't need this. This isn't me. And I couldn't feel the same way anymore. And I know that God did that, you know.
This incredible purpose that you have found traveling all across the world and recording this music and this incredibly unique perch that you have to speak into people's lives that might be going through something that you went through. Did you always have a love for music? When did you discover that?
Yeah, I did. I started playing guitar when I was 12 years old, around the same time that I was going through all that trouble. And my mom, she knew that it's something that I wanted to do, that I wanted to learn how to play guitar. And she'd hear me listening to music in my room and stuff. And I told her I want to learn how to play an instrument. And my mom ended up getting me this guitar. It was a cheap guitar, wasn't a name brand, but she got it out of the Sears catalog. And that was the internet of its day, you know. You got it from the Sears catalog.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, you special ordered that thing. But my mother worked at Sears, and she sold furniture. They used to have a furniture department in Sears, and my mom, she got a discount, and she ordered this from a catalog, and I think it cost her less than $100, my first guitar. And I started playing, and she couldn't afford any. She bought me an amp from a pawn shop, had a blown speaker, and she got it even cheaper. And that's how I learned how to play guitar. And that blown speaker worked out great because it was distortion.
I love it. Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for taking us through this story. Some who are listening today may have heard it, but for those of us who have not heard the whole thing, the music makes so much more sense and has so much more poignance once we have. You know, when we look at the album, when we look at the music of Closer to Chaos, and we look at a song like Sober, where your heart, as you listen to that song, just goes out as you listen to the one who's living those lyrics of, wake me up when it's over. This hurts too much sober. I never want to feel again. Take me back to the old days where I couldn't feel pain. I never want to feel again. Take us inside the depth of meaning that you're conveying with that song, Sober.
You know, we do a lot of talking about the pain of being a drug addict. We do a whole lot of talking about how the joy of not being a drug addict anymore. And those are usually the two points of views that we have when we talk about addiction and being, you know, being sold out to drugs or whatever it is that is your addiction. But, and it's true. I mean, it's pain. There's a lot of pain in being a drug addict, and you're trying to numb that pain, and you do a lot of bad things, and a lot of bad things have been done to you, and maybe that's why you're a drug addict. Or, you know, I got saved and my life has changed, and now I'm living this happy life and I don't have drugs anymore that I'm leading to. I trust the Lord. And those are both great points. But what about that middle part? What about that middle part when you know that using is not an option anymore? You know that loud and clear, man, if I use again, I'm going to lose my kid to Child Protective Services. If I use again, my wife's leaving or my husband's leaving. If I use again, my liver is going to go out. If I, you know, and you know that using is not an option, or man, I got to get clean from this. I can't live like this anymore. And using is not an option. And then you've got to face the demons of your past, the hurt, the pain, all of the issues of life. You've got to face those without medicating. Man, that's a tough place to be. And I'd be lying if I said there weren't times in the middle of that I just wished I could go back to the old days when I could just drink or use to numb that pain. But I don't have that option. I'm not looking at that as an option. And I have to sit through the pain. But man, this hurts. That's what that song's about.
Well, if you're just tuning in, that's the voice of Mr. Joseph Rojas. He's the lead singer of Seventh Day Slumber, the chart-topping recording artist with the freshly released album Closer to Chaos, here for Faith Radio's On the Road, and I'm Ryan Thomas. I want to take a look inside the song The Letter, which is penned by your son, Blaise, but really, just first of all, we need to talk about just how special and awesome it is to be in a band with your son.
That's hard to explain. I mean, I look back, you know, I'll be singing on stage and there'll be 500 people in front of me or 1,000 people in front of me, and I'll look back and see my son playing, and he's in love with Jesus. And I'm like, man, I was a drug addict, didn't have any positive male role models in my life. Nobody taught me how to be a daddy. Nobody taught me how to be a proper husband. But look at what God did in my life. I look back and I see my son and I'm like, man, I'm so proud. And it's just no way to really describe that feeling. It's just amazing. And he's not only in love with Jesus, he's one of the most amazing drummers that I've ever heard or even had the opportunity to play with in a band. So not only, you know, is he there, you know, as my son, like I said, but man, musically, he's amazing. And any band would be glad to have him.
It's so cool. So the track The Letter tackles the epidemic of young people getting involved with cutting and also seeing suicide, as you did, as not only an escape, but as somehow making life easier, you know, for their loved ones. And this is the battle that we seem to only continue getting more widespread all across the world. What's the response been like to your message there?
Well, we see people every day that come to our concerts and raise their hand when I have them close their eyes and bow their heads. And I just say, hey, listen, you know, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not here to try to make you look stupid in front of your friends or embarrass you, but I want to know how many of you are here tonight that are thinking about suicide, or at least recently in the past 3 months. You'll see hands go up all over the place. And we're talking about playing in churches and different places, you know, it doesn't matter. Pain is universal. And we see these kids raising their hands, and it breaks my heart every single night. And, you know, Blaise is sitting right here, and, you know, he can share a little bit about why he wrote the song and what the song means to him.
That would be great. Absolutely.
Hey, how you doing?
Brother, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, no problem. It's an honor to be on here. I remember writing the lyrics to this song maybe like a year and a half before we actually started writing like the music or anything like that, before music was even like a thought for those lyrics. But I remember we were at a show, and it was in the middle of my dad's altar call. And like you said, there's thousands of people that raised their hands when he asked that question about suicide. Like we see so many people, and so I remember seeing that, and I was happy because they were strong enough to just to hold on. Then I got really sad because I thought about all the people that we didn't make it to, and all the people who we didn't get a chance to talk to them and tell them that they were loved and tell them that we're here with them, that we deal with the same stuff that they do. And so I really just wanted to write a song to just bring awareness to it. And, I mean, the song is, it's not a happy song, but I just really wanted to bring awareness to just suicide and just tell people like we might not be able to reach everybody at Seventh Day Slumber because we're four people. We can't be everywhere at once, but there's 7 billion people in the world, and you can talk to somebody. You can be that person that is that light in somebody's life. It's going to be their friend and tell them that they're going to be okay, that they're going to get through it. And that's really what the song was about, is just to bring awareness to it. Just tell people like you can be that life-changing thing in somebody's life.
Man, well, thank you so much for that, sir. The song's called The Letter. The album is called Closer to Chaos. We've been talking with the father and son Rojases today of the band Seventh Day Slumber. The album, once again, called Closer to Chaos. And guys, I imagine wherever fine music is sold is the place to go to get a copy of the record. But would you recommend we begin the journey anywhere online?
I would just say SeventhDaySlumber.com. That's just Seventh Day Slumber. Seventh spelled out, S-E-V-E-N-T-A, SeventhDaySlumber.com, like on the seventh day he rested. Mm. And, you know, all our social digits are up on that page, and you can go to our Facebook, our Instagram. They're spelt out as well. You can just look us up. But, yeah, I mean, it's also Spotify, iTunes, Google, whatever, YouTube. You can find us pretty much everywhere.
I was listening to you on Spotify earlier today, so I can confirm it's true.
There you go.
Oh, man. What an absolute treat to talk to you guys today. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for what you're doing, and keep up the great work, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.